Jesus was not created. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. He was there when it all started. What, eternity? No, eternity never started. It's always been, always will be. That's where God indwells, eternity. In the beginning means at the starting point of something. Creation, God created, boom, into existence. Now there's time.
Welcome to Apply Within, a verse-by-verse study of the Word of God with Pastor Bob Davis of North Country Chapel. We invite you to join with us as we, by the power of God's Holy Spirit, apply His Word within our own hearts. As we study line upon line, precept upon precept, verse-by-verse, through the Bible. Our study of John begins in chapter 1 with, "In the beginning was the Word." Here's Pastor Bob.
John chapter 1. Verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Now, Matthew wrote his gospel to emphasize Jesus as the true Messiah king, the real king of Israel. That's why Matthew did that. We have four gospels. People say, why four gospels? Well, you'll have to check with God. And Matthew wrote to emphasize Jesus as the true Messiah. So you'll see that lineage tracing all the way back from Abraham, all the way down, right? Mark presented Jesus as the suffering servant. He just came and he suffered and he ministered to everybody else. We were talking a little while back, how if you would like to read through, take notice, it struck me, take notice that Jesus didn't get his feelings hurt. He just didn't. You know why? He wasn't here for that. He was here for me and you. So he would not argue and fight with people and cuss and be angry with them. He got angry when people refused to admit, but he never did. He didn't go, "You really hurt me. You hurt me. You're not my best friend. I don't like you guys. You're bad." Where are we getting all this, everybody? Self, pride. God Almighty didn't come in here to be liked. He came here to save Bob and to save you and to save you and you. He didn't come to so he would be treated kindly, so that people would just join his team and he could build a big church. He came to suffer, and Mark represents him that way and presents him that way, the suffering servant Savior, ministering to needy people. Do you realize, as you read through every gospel, Jesus never turned anyone away, even when they weren't Jewish, even when they weren't sincere, even when they were trying to trick him and trap him in his own words? He never turned them away. He never said, "Get away from me." He answered questions, or he asked questions to questions. That's amazing. He's the suffering servant. Luke writes his gospel to the Greeks. So he gives a different lineage for a whole different purpose. And he introduced the people to Jesus, the complete or perfect human being. Now John, where we are here, he's already told us why he wrote it, but I'll say it again. He wrote his gospel to present Jesus as the eternal Son of God, meaning God, fully God, but at the same time in human flesh. Luke will point out Son of Man. John is focusing on he is the eternal living God, the Son of God. If you think Jesus never claimed to be God, watch as we walk with him every day, verse by verse. Stick with us. You'll be amazed how many times he clearly, specifically says, yeah, I'm God. You're looking at me, you're looking at God. What you see me do, that's what God does. What you hear me say, that's what God says. Claiming to be fully God, that's what John's telling us. I'll read it to you again. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. So right away, notice, John starts out. He doesn't waste any time here. He starts out telling us Jesus Christ now, the one that he talked with, put his arms around, joked with, walked the dusty roads of Israel. He said, that Jesus is eternally existent. Meaning, in American, he never had a beginning and he will never have an end. He is eternally existent. He's God, the eternal, almighty God. Now, I had a beginning. I don't remember it. I was young. You had a beginning. Everything we do is based on time. In school, a lot of things you learn were on timelines. You learn history. And you got, if you want to look at World War II, you have Adolf Hitler over here, and you got a timeline, and then Britain, and then the Allies got dragged into it. You recall all that. You got Japan, right? And you get timelines. We lay them out. We get timelines on tombstones that'll say born whenever, dash, you know, died whenever. It's a timeline. That's how we live everything. God has no timeline, no starting and no stopping. Now, that's hard to grasp. There is no time in heaven. We were talking about earlier. There is no time. That's why God says now is the time to receive his son. There is no better time than now. Why? Because it's always now with God. Now. We want to dwell in the past. I was doing better last week, Lord. Remember? I was really right on. He goes, it's now, dude. It's now. There is no time in eternity. We can't grasp that. We're just going to have to see what that's like when we get there. All we got is time here and a short time, but that's what we got. So listen, he's eternally existent. No beginning, no end. In the beginning of creation, Jesus already was. In the beginning was the Word. The beginning of what? The beginning of creation. When God started time for us. Jesus was already there. In the beginning, the Word. Now, the Word, the Greek word used for Word is logos. And logos is not a name. Logos is a title. Jesus is the logos of God, the Word of God. And what the logos means is God's ultimate communication of himself. Jesus Christ is God's communication to you and me right now of himself. If you say, I can't even imagine what God would think about something like this, you say, well, wait a minute. Jesus, when he walked the earth, he said this about that. You say, well, what would God say if he walked down the streets of Chicago today? I'll show you. Watch Jesus walk down the streets of Jerusalem. Watch Jesus tell a story, a parable. Really, it's not a parable. The Good Samaritan. That's what would happen if somebody fell in among thieves. They beat him and rob him and leave him for dead and take everything. A good Samaritan comes by and takes care of him. Remember all that? God shows you what he's all about. In the beginning, the Logos was already there, the Word. God's ultimate communication of himself. The Logos was with God. In other words, Jesus Christ is God. He was with God. And the Logos was at the same time God. Well, are they both one? Yes. God is one. Hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy 6. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Singular. But there are three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Nobody can explain that. We call it a Trinity. As soon as you use the word, 50% of Christianity is already offended. Call it what you like. A triune being, a tricycle, call him whatever you want. He is God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Eternal, eternally, never starting, never stopping, always is. Right? That's what he's saying here. I'll read it again. In the beginning was the Word, the Lord, the Logos, the God's ultimate communication to us of himself, the Logos. In the beginning was the Word, and the Logos was with God, and the Logos was God. How is that possible? Because God is one what and three who's? Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Let the Pope wrap his head around that one with the fish hat on. Wants to change the Lord's Prayer, as you saw that. He says that the Lord's Prayer makes God sound bad, so we need to change the wording a little. And I'm going, Lord, 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 take us home. See, what that means is the Logos was with God, and the Logos was at the same time God. Let me put it another way. Maybe this will help. Not only did he dwell with God, but he actually is God as well. This means that Jesus is actually God himself, God the Son. But take note again that even though he is the Son of God, now mark this in your head or in your notes, wherever it'll stay with you. Even though he is the Son of God, he is full deity as well. He is not less than God, he is God. We try to put them on, well, God's the top and Jesus the middle. You know, so people say, well, the Trinity is like a cherry pie. You see, the bottom would be Jesus. The top is God and the filling, that's the Spirit. And I go, okay, cherry pie, got this one. I could eat that. I'm with you. No matter how you try to explain it, it breaks down on our level, doesn't it? Because it is beyond what we can comprehend. That's why nobody can explain God to you. If I could explain God to you, where you understood everything, that he wouldn't be God. Get it? He's too big for someone like me to even start to explain him. Jesus is showing us, he'll tell us a little later on, what you hear me say, that's what God says. Show us the Father. One of the disciples says, well, Lord, we want to see the Father. And he goes, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. This is what the Father would say. This is what the Father would do. This is what the Father wants. I and my Father are one. He is the Word. So take note, even though he is the Son of God, he is still full deity. It takes away none of his authority being called the Son. And you'll find that he willingly became flesh and dwelt among us. He was willing to give up some of that to become a human being in flesh for a while, right? That means Jesus is actually God himself. Can you wrap your head around that? But wait a minute, Jesus was down here in the garden and praying to the Father, and the Father was in heaven. He would even look up. So how can they be one? Exactly. That's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. If I could explain it to you, he would not be very big at all. I have a pea brain. I don't think we can explain it. I think when we get there and we see, we're going to go, duh, makes sense now. But until then, trust. You say, I don't know if God exists. If you're truly born again, he's already changed your life enough where everybody else is going, oh, he exists, dude. If you could have seen you 3 months ago, you're a jerk. You're just sort of a jerk now. You're better. God's changing you, and it's starting to show. And it will. Let me put it another way. Jesus, He is the Son of God, yet he is fully God. In verse 2, makes it abundantly clear, because we read verses 1 and 2, right? Yeah. Makes it abundantly clear, Jesus didn't become the Son of God when he was born in Bethlehem. Right? Because in the beginning, when God started this creation, when God created, Jesus was doing the creating. You'll see in a moment. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He has always been, will always be God, the Son. So verse 2 makes it abundantly clear, Jesus didn't become the Son when he was born in Bethlehem, born when he became flesh. Then he was the Son of God. No, he's always been the Son of God. Jesus has always, for all eternity, been God the Son. Fully God, yet willing to become fully this, become one of us to save us all, to save anybody that would hear his cry, come to me. Verse 3 says, all things, now put this all together now. All things were made by him. And in the Greek, all things just means carpeting. Wait, what does all things mean? All things. The Bible's easier to understand than we pretend. All things were made by him, and without him, who's him? God. Who's him? The Logos, the Word of God, Jesus Christ. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Anything that's created, Jesus did it. In him, who? The Logos, the Word, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Jesus was not created. In the beginning was the Word, the Logos, Jesus Christ. In the beginning was the Word. He was there when it all started. What, eternity? No, eternity never started. It's always been, always will be. That's where God indwells, eternity. When in the beginning means at the starting point of something. Creation, God created, boom, into existence. Now there's time and space. According to God's Word, listen closely, there are no exceptions to this. To what? All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. No exceptions. In him was life. That doesn't mean he just had life. It's saying that Jesus Christ is the source of all life. He is alive in eternity. And he created life here. So in him is life. Not just he's alive, but he is the source of all life. All life, both, listen, both physical and spiritual. All life he is in control of. He creates. We receive physical life when the Lord creates us in our mother's womb. Physical life, and you begin to grow, and you're fearfully and wonderfully made. And David says, you saw my fingers and my toes while they were being formed. You formed them. You chose what they were supposed to look like. He has life. He's the source of all life, physical and spiritual. You receive your physical life by the power of God. We receive spiritual life when we're truly born again, by the power of God as well. All life is in him. By grace through faith in Jesus Christ. In him is life, and that life is the light of men, of mankind. The one who gives us life also gives us light. Light is, in God's word, used most often for the things of God, the Lord God and his kingdom, light. Darkness, in the Bible, commonly used for death, ignorance, sin, or separation from God. True? So Jesus, the one who provides life, also provides light. Let me put it another way. Guidance and direction for mankind. Didn't the Lord say after he created Adam and then created Eve, to be fruitful and multiply and take dominion. Keep an eye on the animals. You take dominion over all creation. Take care of this. You see, God gives guidance and direction for all mankind. Light. The light, the Lord Jesus shined into the darkness. Let me read it. And the light shineth in darkness. Jesus Christ, God Almighty, became flesh. John's going to mention it again a couple times. He became flesh and shined into the darkness, but the darkness did not comprehend it. The King James, the darkness comprehended it not. The word in the Greek is katalambano, and it means to grasp or comprehend or understand. It also means to seize or to overpower. Katalambano, to grasp or to understand, to grasp it, to get an understanding of it. So what are we learning? The darkness did not understand the light, and the darkness was not able to stop it or overcome the light. The devil is the prince of darkness, and still he's losing. He's been defeated. He loses. He will lose. He cannot overcome it. He cannot seize it or overpower it, and he can't grasp it and really understand it either. There are people out there who refuse Jesus Christ. I don't want to know about it. They can't grasp it, but there's nothing they can do to overpower it or to shut it down. I see the atheists now, they're putting billboards across the nation saying that cute little billboards that say there is no Jesus. That's fake news. About the birth of Jesus. They call it fake news. And just cool little contemporary billboards. But they can't stop the light from spreading. They say, well, if you're a thinker, if you got half a brain, you're going to know there's no such thing as God. That God didn't become flesh and dwell among us. Yes, he did. And he changed my life. And there's nobody can tell me he didn't, because he did. You can tell me it didn't happen, but it did. Here's one thing you can't take from you is your testimony. Share it when God gives you the opportunities, your testimony. Don't tell me, well, explain Jesus to me. Or how about this or how about that? Well, let me tell you what. I can't answer all your questions, but let me just tell you what Jesus has done in my life. Watch them back off and say, I gotta get home. You know why? Because that gets to the heart of it. Nobody can take your testimony away from you. Share that instead of trying to answer everybody's dopey question. If God can do anything, can God make a rock so big that God can't lift it? Well, I don't know the answer to that, but I know this. He changed my life. He changed it drastically. And if you don't believe it, ask anybody I went to high school with to this very day. I'm proud of the fact that they go, what? He's a pastor? That's got to be a joke. We figured he'd be in jail. Because from my school, you're going to be either killers or priests. There was no middle of the road. Yeah. The darkness did not understand the light, couldn't grasp it, couldn't comprehend it. Also, the darkness will never be able to overcome it or shut it down. Billboards aren't going to do it. Atheists gathering together in the thousands marching on Washington, they're not going to do it. Why? Because Jesus is in my heart. He's in your heart. And I joke and I say we're part of the Christian mafia, the Christian mafia. We know too much to get out. I mean, God has done so much in you. You're not going to deny him now. Yeah, you know, I'm nothing like what I ought to be, but I'm nothing like what I was. And God did every bit of that. There's a testimony nobody can take away from you. And they can't argue it because it's your testimony. I like that.
Thank you for listening to Apply Within with Pastor Bob Davis. Apply Within is the radio outreach ministry of North Country Chapel. Our Sunday morning Bible studies are at 9 and 11 a.m. We also have a Friday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. and a Monday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. You can download today's message in its entirety at northcountrychapel.com/studies. That's northcountrychapel.com/studies. If you would like a copy of today's message, write to us and ask for the message with today's date. The address is Apply Within, 2281 West Celtis, Post Falls, Idaho, 83854. Or call us at 1-800-572-8851. That number again, 1-800-572-8851. Our mobile app is available for iPhone and Android. Download it to listen to full-length studies, watch the live stream of our services, or to find out more about church events. If you have been blessed by the teaching or have prayer requests that you would like to share with us, write, email, or call us as well. Please join with us every Monday through Friday as we study together verse by verse on Apply Within, sponsored by North Country Chapel. God bless you.